You are making the world a better place by listening to the Joy of Living podcast. This is your guide to achieving a more purposeful, powerful, and positive life. Join Barry Shore in unlocking the best version of you and becoming happier, healthier, and wealthier. And now, here's your ambassador of joy, Barry Shore.
Good day, beautiful, bountiful, beloved, immortal beings, and good-looking people. Remember, you're good-looking. You're always looking for and finding the good. You have found good in abundance. You've tuned in consciously and conscientiously to the Joy of Living podcast with your humble host, Barry Shore. And we are honored to have today with us one of the more remarkable, interesting, and beneficial people in the world, Ken Coldman, and he's going to be helping you learn more about how being happier, healthier, and wealthier. Who doesn't want that? Because you have tuned in to this show, the Joy of Living podcast, for one reason and one reason only. And it's a great reason, by the way. It's the best reason in the world, because you care the most in the entire world about you. Y-O-U. And that's great, by the way, because when you become the best you, you make the world a better place. You build more bridges of harmony. You create more joy, happiness, peace, and love in the world. And you know that on this show, we discuss the three fundamentals of life. And when you live these three fundamentals, you become happier, healthier, and wealthier. The three fundamentals, of course, are number one, life, your life has purpose. And when you lead a purpose-driven life, number two happens. Now, in this case, a good number two, which means you go MAD. Now, MAD is a wonderful acronym that stands for make a difference. You lead a purpose-driven life, you make a difference in the world. And the third fundamental is to uncover the power and the secrets of everyday words and terms. Simple example, right now, hundreds of thousands of people are joining you around the world listening to the Joy of Living podcast. And we're doing it over this amazing, magical, mystical platform called the internet. If you ask anybody, what does WWW stand for? Invariably, they'll tell you, has to do with the internet. Now, factually speaking, they're correct. Now, in our world, though, the world of the positive, purposeful, powerful, and pleasant, WWW stands for What a Wonderful World. And what is the word, right? W-H-E-T-A. And of course, the tip of the hat and a big thank you to Louis Armstrong, Satchmo, for enabling that song, What a Wonderful World, to go viral, not just touch tens of millions, or hundreds of millions, but billions of people around the planet. And right away, when you hear the opening bars of What a Wonderful World, what do? You can't help it. You smile. Now, smile is one of the most important words you can ever internalize, utilize, and leverage in your life, because smile stands for seeing miracles in life every day. That's right. See miracles in life every day. Now, recently, I started doing in-person talks again. Recently, we had a crowd of 1,176 people, lots of energy, hugging, not a mask in the audience. It was great, uplifting. And I'm telling the story about Barry Shore and seeing miracles in life every day. And people raising their hands say, hey, Barry Shore, I've been up for hours. Where I haven't seen any miracles. And I asked them, are you here? Can you hear? Can you stand still? I can't do that. Can you walk? I can build you that. You have water to drink, you have food to eat, you have a place to sleep, you have family, you have friends. Every single one of those is a miracle. What's the proof? Simplest proof. A million people didn't get out of bed this morning. You know why? They died. By definition, if you're watching or you're listening, you didn't. If we have an obligation to live life to the full, to live exuberantly. So let me tell you a quick story. Imagine, if you can, standing up in the morning, hale and hearty, that's me, able to leave tall buildings in a single bound, and that evening being in the hospital, totally, completely paralyzed from the neck down. Not an automobile accident, not a spinal injury, a rare disease which I never heard of the day before took over my body and rendered me what's called a quadriplegic. Nothing in my body moved. I can only communicate by blinking my eyes. I was 144 days in the hospital, 2 years in a hospital bed. I couldn't turn over myself. I was 4 years in a wheelchair, 2 years, I had braces on both my legs, my hips, my ankles. That was progress. Thank God today I'm able to be vertical and ambulatory with the help of a 7-foot walking wand. So I'm a triped, not a biped. I still can't walk up a stair by myself. I can't walk up a curb by myself. And I have help 12 hours a day, 7 days a week. But you hear my voice, positive, purposeful, powerful, and pleasant, all because of one word, smile, seeing miracles in life every day. I got to tell you a quick story. My 8-year-old niece comes over to me a few weeks ago. She says, Uncle Barry, can we spell smile? S-M-I-E-L. I thought about smile. Smile sounds the same. Why not? I asked her, how come? She says, because then it would stand for seeing miracles in everyday life. Out of the mouth of babes, an 8-year-old. But what was she doing? She was creating the kind of world she wants to live in, causing rethinking, enabling all to excel. That's what CREATE stands for. And it's really what we're going to be talking about today with Ken Coleman. Rethinking, what I call a shift in perspective. Now, I've been working with people for 42 years, and I can tell you, 97.2% of all the people I discuss shift in perspective with, they drop the F and the other stuff happens. You got to be very careful with your Fs. You want to shift your perspective, and then you can internalize, utilize, and leverage the 6 most important words you'll ever learn. Choice, not chance, determines your destiny. Choice, not chance, determines your destiny. How you choose to respond in any given situation really determines who you are and what's going to happen in your life. Now, before we bring on Ken, I have to warn him and the new audience, we always have 340,000 people listening and more coming every week. Thanks to you, another 20,000-30,000 people every week. So keep them coming. I just want to share with you, we do use 4-letter words. Now, the 4-letter words we use, of course, because we live in the world of the positive, purposeful, powerful, and pleasant are love, life, hope, free, grow, gift, play, pray, work, swim. And of course, the 4-letter F-U word, fun. Fun, that's right, F-U, capital N, capital S, what I call the F-U word. And I do it because of the shock value. That's fine. I tell people I use the F-U word. It's fun, F-U, capital N. So after the show, when you see your family and friends, have a twinkle in your eye and a smile on your face, point your finger and say, F-U, everybody. Remember to add right away, capital N, capital N. So where'd you get that? I listened to Barry Shore on the Joy of Living podcast. He wants to teach the world to F-U. Capital N, capital N, gives you an opening to discuss what we're going to be talking about today, which is your wealth. How do you like that? Now, before we bring on Ken, I'm just going to urge everybody that from now and the rest of your life, I want you to use the 2 most powerful words in English language 3 times a day, consciously and conscientiously. 2 most powerful words in English language are thank you, thank you, thank you. Thanks stands for to harmonize and network kindness. Imagine you go in the coffee shop, order a fancy latte, you sit down, somebody brings you, say thank you. You go in the coffee shop, you order a fancy latte, sit down, nobody brings to you, a few minutes go by, you go to the counter, say, I'm sorry, we forgot, we're bringing you, sit down, a couple of minutes go by, somebody brings you, still say thank you. You're walking out of the coffee shop, it's raining out, somebody holds the doorbell for you, you say thank you. You're walking out of the coffee shop, it's raining, somebody slams the door on you, you say thank you. You're in traffic, you're late for an appointment, somebody cuts you off. You say, that's right, thank you. Get up in the middle of the night and you stub your toe and it hurts. You say, thank you. To harmonize and nurture kindness. Kind is a wonderful word. It stands for keep inspiring noble deeds. I can't think of anybody that inspires noble deeds. I want to share with you more than wonderful Ken Coleman. Ken, please say hello to 357,820 people around the world.
Well, hello, everybody. I don't know how to keep the energy at the same level as Barry, but it is exciting to be with all of you. And I know that you're here for a reason, and I am too. So let's get it on.
Woo! By the way, Ken, what was the last time somebody said F you to you and you laughed?
Today's the first day.
F you, capital N, capital N. If I started telling everybody about Ken Coleman, the only reason I don't presume that everybody knows because we have a worldwide audience. So there are people, I'm sure, that throughout Africa and Asia that just don't listen to the Ken Coleman radio show or the YouTube. But everybody should know Ken Coleman, because he brings good things to you. And we're going to discuss those right away. And it's just so wonderful because it's not only just that he's a nationally syndicated radio host of the Ken Coleman Show and best-selling author, has been on almost every place, it's just that he cares. And he cares about that which you care about, your money. Oh, did I say that loud enough? So let's talk about your money. But interestingly enough, money is wrapped up in something that is a great package. And yet some people find it very difficult because it's another 4-letter word ending in K. And that word is work. Oh, my gosh, work. So let's just jump right in, Ken, and discuss what you call and I call the future of work. What is going on in our country specifically, the United States, maybe the Western world, when it comes to work?
Well, I think there are several factors that are changing. One is the long-held relationship of tension between leaders or managers and the worker. And, you know, there's always been a tension there, obviously, because you've got authority and authority that's done well, that's done with relationship. Then you see a thriving team. But for most people, there's always a little bit of fear. What's my boss going to be like? And what's that relationship? And if you've had negative experiences in the past with your leader, then it creates an expectation of negativity. And so that creates tension. And so there's always that tension there and always has been there. And it's kind of taken on a life of its own. But what we're seeing now is, I think, a greater divide, because I think that the people who walked away from the traditional work environment in the pandemic, as many did, and then some came back, some did not. People are taking wholesale inventory of their life and deciding, how is it that I want to live? And I think you're seeing more and more people not be willing to put up with bad leadership or a negative team environment. And so that has created a very interesting tension in the workplace that did not exist before, in that you had the remote work, and now there's a version of that work called hybrid work. And then there's leaders that are saying, we want you back in full time. And so that tension that has always been there is now being exacerbated, if you will, by this tension of, we want you back in, or I'm not coming back in. I want to work from home. I'm not going to go do this. I'm not going to do that. And so there's this back and forth, and it's going to be interesting to see how it continues to cycle out as the U.S. economy tightens, the labor market tightens. Right now, it's still very, very good labor market. But as it tightens, it's going to be interesting to see how that plays out. So that's one factor. The other factor on the future of work is how we are going to actually do work, and the how would include the where. As I mentioned just moments ago, where you've got this remote work now that has now shifted back, where it's back to pre-pandemic levels, meaning the amount of people that are working remote are back to the same levels pre-pandemic, but the hybrid model has exploded. And the hybrid model is where you've got people working certain amount of days in the office, and then the rest of the week they're working remotely. And that looks to be the predominant model of work as we go forward in the United States. But we've got the four-day work week that's being tested, not just in the United States, but also in Europe. I think that's coming down the pike. And I think we're going to get to a place where the 40-hour work week, as we have known it for a long time, is now going to be really challenged. And I think it's going to be about results, not about time. And I think that's where it should be, by the way. I think that's where trust is truly established. But that's just that's a pretty complex question. Tried to simplify the answer. But I think those two storms, if you will, on the horizon, as they move in and move together, that's going to shape the future of work as we now know it.
So let's unpack a few of those things, because you gave us a lot, and it's wonderful. That's why we have you here, because you didn't just write the book. You've written the books about purpose, about living life to the full and enjoying your work. We'll talk about joy at work in just a little bit, but I want to unpack a few things. I think everybody has heard of this concept called plate tectonics. If you look at a map of the world, you see that Latin America and Brazil fit nicely into Africa. And then there was this idea that all the continents were together at one point and they broke apart. And the reason we have things called upheaval and earthquakes and things is because the earth is moving constantly. Nothing stays still. I mean, talking about, you know, pandemic, there's no such thing as stasis in the world where it's just static. Everything's in movement all the time. So these plate tectonics always cause upheaval. Well, one of the greatest upheavals, of course, in the past century, it was the pandemic, but the lockdown certainly was. That crushing of business and an entrepreneurial spirit, and what do you do, and all these things that happened. So one of the interesting issues is, I read this just recently in the Wall Street Journal, I'd like you to comment on it, is that we, for years, of course, had this thing called Dress Down Friday. Now, the quote in the Wall Street Journal was, there is no more at the office Monday. In other words, the whole idea of coming into the office specifically on a 5-day work week, like you just said, that's almost completely going away. Again, except in certain industries where it, the necessity of having, let's say, a certain amount of time filled all, every single day, like in manufacturing and such. But to be in the office on Mondays may be an anachronism, interesting enough. So I'd like you to comment on that. And then I want you to comment on one other thing. And that is you use the B word. And I don't mean with an I and a T in it. I mean the B-O-S-S word. And I'd like you to comment to this point. I was always taught growing up that no matter what, I don't care if you, my father said, I don't care if you're working for somebody, you are your own boss. And let's just talk about these two aspects, because I think they go hand in glove. Of, you know, where do you want to work? You choose where you want to work, and being your own boss, even as an employee. How do you see that?
Well, you know, on the first issue that you wanted me to comment on, again, I think there's going to be a certain percentage of the population as it relates to organizations in this country that still say, we want you in most of the time. And I think you can make the case that collaboration is better, teammates, communication, all of that is better in a work together environment. But what I am saying is that as we've seen the hybrid model move into the forefront of this is kind of an acceptable compromise, if you will, for some leaders. I just think it's going to put a bigger focus on the relationship between the leader, the manager, and the worker to where it's like, you know what? I'm going to put a tremendous amount of trust in you because I've made it very clear what the expectations are of you. I've made it clear how I'm going to measure those expectations. And then I, as your leader, am here to serve you and give you everything you need to do the job. And so to that end, you're right. The Monday morning yucks, I think, are going to be a very interesting thing going forward as we see the world of work kind of evolve. On the second issue, you know, being your own boss and is an integrity issue. What you're saying here is a lovely a reminder to yesteryear in that that was a character trait that people had when it came to work. Yes, I've got a leader. Yes, I've got a boss, but I'm going to work for me because I believe in doing excellent work. And I want to make sure that I am acting with character and integrity by doing a good job so that I can rest easy at night to know I did good work to receive good pay. And so that's a character issue. And that's what I love about that old phrase. It's a mentality to say, I'm not going to sit around and wait for somebody to tell me what to do. All right. If I got done what I needed to get done, I'm going to be the first one to my leader and go, hey, boss, I'm done. What do you need me to do next? And that's the way my mom and dad taught me and my brother. And that's just good character and good integrity. And I think that it leads to then a better mindset as you mature and you get into the workforce. Then you go, you know what? I'm going to act like I own the place. And what I mean by that is not telling everybody what to do and acting like a pill and a jerk, but you're taking a level of care and pride in the quality of your work. And you're showing up early when you need to show up early, not because somebody told you to show up early, because you believe it's right to show up early. You stay late when you need to stay late, not because somebody told you to stay late, because you believe you should stay late. And so again, both of those two go together. This, at the end of the day, I'm going to work for my satisfaction to know that I did a good job. When no one was looking, I know that I did a good job. And then I'm going to have a mindset for acting and treating other people and doing my work at a quality that is as if I own the company and it's my name on the door. And I think that that's a quality that is lacking in today's workforce, because what has happened is that's an old phrase that my parents, your parents, grandparents, I mean, that was passed down for generations in America. But now the mindset is of the younger workers, not all of them, but a lot of them, it's what are you doing for me? What have you done for me lately? Because if you haven't done something for me lately and you haven't given me a promotion, you haven't given me a raise, you didn't tell me that I'm awesome just because I showed up for work on time, I'm going to go somewhere else. And it's not their fault. And the reason that this exists in today's workforce is because we as parents for generations now have made kids feel good instead of teaching them how to be and do good. And what I mean by that is in our sports programs, in our arts, our whatever these extracurriculars are for kids, we are rewarding kids for participation, not rewarding kids for excellence. When I watch the Olympics, Barry, I see three medals. First place is gold, second place is silver, and third place is bronze. And everybody else, you get a towel to wipe your face off, and better luck next time. You got to work your butt off for four more years to get here again. Now, this is competition. This is excellence. And that's what brings out the best in people, not getting a trophy when you lose 10 straight soccer games. So what that has created, Barry, is unrealistic expectations. And when you have unrealistic expectations, here's what you're guaranteed to have: unmet expectations. And so people are revolving, they're moving on because their feelings aren't being met. And you can't meet their feelings because it's impossible for a leader to constantly walk around rewarding people all the time just for doing the job that they're paid to do.
So let me unpack a couple of things here, and then we're going to go to a break. Urge everybody to patronize our sponsors because they love this show, because you love this show, and it works hand in glove. I just want to tell you, and from the very beginning, that you're going to learn how to be happier, healthier, and wealthier. You just got a dose of wondrous insight that will make you wealthier. Because when you do live in integrity and you work in integrity, then guess what happens? By definition, you are not just participating, you will be on that stand. You'll either be a gold, a silver, or a bronze. We guarantee it because we know from studying people and working in the workforce for decades and decades and decades that that's the result of working smart, working hard, and working with integrity. We'll be right back with more of amazing Ken Coleman and Barry Shore just after this brief message. Don't go away. Good day, everybody. This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. That's BetterHelp, BetterHelp. Now, everybody knows, as watches this show, that I've been through a lot of stuff. Paralyzed, years in therapy. And when I talk about therapy, I'm talking about physical and mental therapy. So I am a big believer in the benefits of therapy. And I'd like to urge everybody to consider using therapy in your life. It will make a positive, purposeful, powerful, beneficial difference for you. And if you're thinking of starting therapy, I would urge you to give BetterHelp a try. That's BetterHelp, BetterHelp. It's entirely online. It's designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. You fill out a brief questionnaire, you get matched with a licensed therapist, and you can switch therapists anytime for no additional charge. It is really, I believe, a great opportunity if you're considering using therapy. And I urge people, use therapy. So let therapy be your map with BetterHelp. That's BetterHelp.com, BetterHelp.com/ Joy of Living. Do it today and you'll get 10% off your first month. Visit betterhelp.com. That's BetterHelp.com/ Joy of Living. You'll thank me. And I know you like thanking me. Go to betterhelp.com/ Joy of Living. Do it now. Good day, beautiful, bountiful, beloved, immortal beings, and good-looking people. Be good-looking, because you're always looking for and finding the good. We found good in abundance. Our cup runneth over with good. His name is Ken Coleman, and he is an expert in purpose. He's an expert in business. He's an expert in work. He's an expert in enabling you to become the best you possible. The result of that will be your success. And that's what you want, right? Physical, mental, spiritual, monetary success. So let's just jump right back in. And you mentioned a number of times so far, Ken, this concept about a leader. And you said a wonderful word as you were talking about a leader. And a leader is, unlike what most people tend to think, a leader is actually a servant, isn't he or she?
Absolutely. That's their primary role, is to give people the resources they need and the training they need to fulfill their role. You know, a lot of times we tend to think of leadership as this grand visionary figure, and we absolutely do need vision from a leader, but I think it's secondary. I think the primary function of a leader is to serve people, to be able to say to them, what do you need to accomplish the role that I've given you? Because it's my job as the leader to make sure that you have it. Have I trained you properly? Do you have the physical resources, the financial resources, manpower resources, whatever? That's the leader's job, is to make sure that people have what they need to do their job. So that's the role of a servant. It's also the leader's job to make sure that they know their people well enough to know what's going on in their life. You know, how you doing is a personal question, not a professional question. It has professional implications, but it is a personal question first and foremost. Because when the leader knows, and again, we're not talking about prying and crossing personal boundaries, but we're just saying, hey, how you doing, Barry? And when they begin to trust you enough that you care about them in asking that question, they'll begin to reveal how they're doing. And over time, that builds trust. And then that allows you to ask the professional question, what can I do to help you win in your job? People are afraid to answer that question with a leader they don't trust. But with a leader they trust, they'll answer the question. So that's that role of servant. And then I think that secondary role is one of being a vision caster. As a leader, you got to be a communicator. You don't have to be eloquent. You don't have to be powerful. But you just got to be an effective communicator to go, here's where we are. Here's where we're going. Here's how I believe we are going to get there. And then that is repeated over and over again, and it's adjusted over time. That's just basic leadership. But in both roles, as the servant on one level and as the vision caster on the other, both of those tactics or both of those responsibilities of a leader are vital to get people to buy in. Because if people aren't bought in and they aren't following you, I got news for you. You are not a leader.
I want to mention a couple of things and ask your insight on this. So first of all, I love working with words and such and acronyms. And leader, the same letters spell dealer. Because in my opinion, a leader is a dealer in hope.
Yeah.
And hope stands for helping others progress every day. Sure. There's the whole, like you said, the job of a leader is one at the same time a servant and the vision person, the communicator, that person, he or she, that enables other people to see that vision. In other words, it's one thing to say we have a vision, but to see it, to feel it, to know that it's true, That's what a leader can do. And I'm going to go on a limb and say that in this environment where we are in the United States of America in the year 2023, I think that we are lacking in leadership, both in the business community and in the political arena. Would you say that I'm off base on that or right on?
Oh, you're spot on. The numbers don't lie in the business community. If we look at those numbers first, I mean, we're seeing again for about 10, 11 straight years, the Gallup study of the global workplace has out. I've been pouring through it over the last week, and the numbers haven't changed for about a decade. And that we're seeing about 68% of people are disengaged at work. Now, that does not mean they hate their job, but they are just what they're calling now quiet quitting. They're just doing the bare minimum. They're getting along and they're not going above and beyond. And then we're seeing 15% of the workforce actively disengaged. So that is a stark commentary on leadership in America's workplaces, because leaders are the reason why or why a person does not engage. You know, there's positional leadership at the very base level of leadership. That's just the first level of leadership, as John Maxwell wrote about in his book, Five Levels of Leadership. It's positional, meaning I follow you or I do what you say because you're the authority and I have to. There's no influence there. And so what we're seeing is an erosion of the trust between the American worker and the leadership. We're seeing mental health in the workplace just absolutely plummet. people not being loyal, changing jobs at the whim of just the next offer. Don't even know if it's the right fit for them, but it's more of a raise and it ain't where I am now. We saw that happen during the Great Resignation. So that's what we're seeing in the American workplace. And yeah, it's because people don't feel seen. People don't feel heard. People don't feel invested in. And so that's a real problem. Then on the political side, I'll just leave it at this. We have a Congress on both sides of the aisle that treats our skyrocketing national debt like a bargaining chip and not the serious crisis that it is. That's a stunning lack of leadership with the people's money. We have leaders on both sides of the aisle with massive corruption issues that you can't trust. And no one is stepping up to say, you know what? We are in a country right now that we are allowing ourselves to be divided by the voices of the media and by certain political players in each party, instead of just going, hey, you know what? In the business world, when we want to cut a deal and get something done, you know what we do? We sit down and we hash it out. We get in a room with a whiteboard and we figure it out. And there's none of that going on in Washington, D.C. There's no leadership there at all. It is gamesmanship. And that's a big, big difference. And then I think I'll give you a word. You love words. I think in the corporate world, where we're seeing more and more corporations spy on people through their laptops and checking their key fob strokes and how many times they type on it, that's nannyship. So we got nannyship going on over in the corporate world, and we have gamesmanship in our political world. And what we're craving is real leadership, men and women who will put other people first, men and women who will put a mission above themselves.
So this is what I'm hearing, and it hurts, a toxic environment that is creating difficulty on the individual level. Because like you said, I'll say it's called, I think, absenteeism at work and non-presenteeism. In other words, a physical being is there, but not engaged. And absenteeism is taking full advantage of days off or time, or, gee, I don't feel right now, I'm on the mood. And that goes against personal integrity, because you can't have personal integrity and be functioning at a high level if you're saying, gee, they don't pay me enough, they don't take care of me enough, which all, by the way, may be true, but that's not the point. The point is, who am I and what can I do in this kind of environment to prove myself to be a winner? By the way, based on what you just said, I'll take the other approach and say, you know something, Ken? It's probably easier to be a winner today than it ever was, because so many people are not doing what is even sort of minimal in business, that if you go in there and you show up and you perform well because you care about you and you care about the environment and the business and you want to be successful for everyone, by definition, you'll win. Am I correct on that?
You're 100%. 100%. The bar is so low now because of terms like quiet quitting and all this nonsense of people, you know, just demanding raises and demanding promotions and griping and complaining all the time. I mean, it's just rampant. So, yes, the bar is lower than it ever has been before. So if you're a person who's got a very clear goal and you've got discipline and you've got integrity, and you can win with people, and you can learn and be coachable, watch out. There's no stopping.
So let's repeat those three things. You have a goal.
Yeah. You're driven. You got direction. So you know where you're headed. That's clarity of direction. That's huge. Okay. And then that's going to give you a tremendous amount of confidence to then step into that. And people begin to see that. So that clarity is very attractive. The second thing I said is discipline. Like, you just show up. Like, you show up and you keep showing up. And even the days where you might call in sick, you don't have a fever, so you're not contagious, but other people would call in sick, don't call in sick. Go in and bust it. And just keep showing up. That's the discipline. And then integrity. Just your yeses are your yeses, your noes are your noes. You do what you say you're going to do. You treat people with respect. That's what I mean by integrity. You do that, and then again, it's just the cream rises to the top. Whatever analogy you want to use, just by osmosis of you just showing up and being those ways and being that kind of a person, you're going to separate yourself from the pack.
again, in the beginning of the show, we talked about the three fundamentals of life, which are number one, life. Your life has purpose. Number two, you lead a purpose-driven life. You go mad. You make a difference. Number three, unlock the power and the secrets of everyday words and terms like he's talking about. And the result is you'll be happier, healthier, and wealthier. And that's what you're discussing. I mean, what you just described, Ken Coleman, is someone who's happier because they're living in integrity. They're living a disciplined life. Healthier mentally and physically and spiritually because, again, they're living in integrity. They're living a disciplined life. And wealthier, because by definition, like you said, the bar is so low that you will be rewarded. It has to happen. It's a law. Now, it's interesting when I use the word law when I'm speaking in front of groups, and I just use the law and I talk about, you know, the people think the police and they go like this. Well, really, it's called the law of attraction. And law is a wonderful acronym that stands for love and wisdom. When you are motivated by love and wisdom, then everything that we're talking about must come to you. Would you agree to that?
Yeah, I think that's right. I mean, I don't know where I'm at on attraction and all that kind of stuff. I don't discount it.
It's a little woo-woo, but okay.
But my take is this, and I think we're saying the same thing. My take is that when I am being the best version of me, and then I am putting myself around the right people, people that are doing what I want to do, because I'm learning from them. I'm observing them. These people are further along than me. And then I'm putting myself in places where I'm watching other people do that. And I'm putting myself in places, a place to learn, a place to try, a place to practice. When I'm constantly showing up and putting myself in the right places around the right people, and I'm at my best, I think opportunities do find us. Yes. Because we are so attractive to people.
Right.
And it's not this mysterious thing. It's actually intentionality. And that's what I wanted to say. And I know you mean that, but I think a lot of people hear this stuff and the secret and all this stuff. And what I would say is that the more attractive I am, okay, not in a sexual way, okay, but the more attractive I am as a person through my humility, through my hunger, and again, just all the things I just listed out, people notice me, and the people that notice me are many times the people that can help me and want to help me because they go, this person is helpable and they can help me. And so that's what I want people to see. There's a tremendous amount of intentionality that then brings opportunity to us. But so many people are just sitting around waiting for somebody to tap them on the shoulder and give them an opportunity. And I don't think it works that way. I'm not in the right place, Barry, the right time can't happen.
It doesn't work that way, right? Opportunity doesn't tap. You want to be tapping. And I'm going to say the following because, again, I got this from my parents. My father used to sing when he was off to work in the morning. He used to sing. I'm not going to say the song, and he used to say to me before he left the house, he said, Barry, just want to remember one thing. Love work. Now, I got to tell you, it took me decades to understand and to internalize it. But he used to say, love work. Because you know what happens when you love work? Stuff like you just said, you become attractive. When you love work, you have an enthusiasm. By definition, there's something about you that becomes more. When you love work, you enjoy being around other people. When you love work, what happens? You attract others. And as we all know, I learned this from a good friend of mine who was a star football player at Ohio State. And the coach at Ohio State, very famous name, but I won't mention him at the moment, but everybody knows him, one of the winningest coaches in history of football. He used to teach the guys, it's called Yaw-Yaw, Y-A-W. You are who you associate with.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So when you love work and you do what you just said, associate with people that you can model and say, by definition, say, hey, Coleman, we love you. Let me teach you something. Let me show you this.
It's exactly right. I think if I can encourage people that feel a little bit stuck, you can change your life if you change the people you hang out with. And I'm so glad you shared that because this has work relevance. It has relationship relevance. You want to win in life. You need to hang around with people that push you and pull you. The ones that push you, they're setting a pace that you gotta step your game up if you want to hang with them. And then they pull you. These are the people that care about you. They'll hold you accountable and pull you up when you need to get pulled up. Push and pull. And these are people that are eagles. And listen, the longest relationship study in history, it's now, I think, over 80 years at Harvard. One of their key findings were that 95% of your success or failure, so either side of the coin here, in life is directly related to the people you spend most of your time with. So I love that you brought up that phrase, and because it is, you want to change your life today, start hanging out with better people. And I'm not saying you got to not do life with people that are good people, but I'm saying if you're hanging around with people that are negative and people that are stuck and they're complainers and they're victims, let me tell you something. That's the perspective that you're going to have. And you will not have opportunities come to you if you're hanging out with those people. But if you flip it and you hang out with people that are on purpose, that are positive and getting after it with everything they have, sucking the marrow out of life, to borrow that phrase from Professor Keating in Dead Poets Society, you are going to have so much more opportunity and a much better life.
Woo! On that high note, we're going to go to a brief commercial break. I urge you all, you know, listen to the people who provide services and such, because they love the show. They support it. We'll be right back with Ken Coleman because he is brimming with goodness. We'll be right back after this brief message. Don't go away. Good day, everybody. Oh, something special for you. Amazing. Sometimes a great notion comes into the world and changes, causes a shift that benefits everyone. Isn't that wonderful? Everyone benefits. This time it's called Einstein Cares. That's right, like Albert Einstein. EinsteinCares.com. EinsteinCares. EinsteinCares.com. Go there and sign up to be aware of when the site launches. Because guess what this site is all about? Its mission is to give $1 billion to charity without costing any giver a penny. Okay, I'm going to say it again. The mission is to give $1 billion to charity without costing any giver a penny. And it's based upon something everybody loves to do. Shop, have fun, give money at no cost. Go to EinsteinCares.com. That's EinsteinCares.com and register now so that when the site launches, you will be amongst the first to know about it so you can shop, earn money, and give money at no cost. What a wonderful world to even be thinking about these things. EinsteinCares.com. Do it today. You'll thank me, and you know you love thanking me. Best wishes. Bye now. Good day, beautiful, bountiful, beloved, immortal beings, and good-looking people. Remember, you're good-looking because you're always looking for and finding the good. Our cup runneth over with good. Ken Coleman, and he is regaling us with advice, with opportunity, with pathways to success. Remember, we talked about you want to be happier, healthier, and wealthier? That's why we asked Ken Coleman to join us today. We're so honored to have you here. Let's jump into something that I know touches you deeply, as it does me. And it's really, I think, the bedrock of being successful in work, which is business, which is life, and the business of life. And that is, of course, the search for meaning in work and life. And they go all together. It's this wonderful tapestry. Let's talk about that, because I know that touches you to the very core.
Yeah, because I just simply believe that we were created to contribute. There's just something inside of us that I don't think anyone can deny if they're willing to be really honest with themselves. This longing to make a difference in the world. You know, when I have people call into my show for coaching, the most confused people will say, Ken, I have no idea what I want to do with my life. And of course they do. They're just unable to articulate it at the time. And one of the things I try to say to get them kind of moving along here, and so they can reveal what's going on inside their heart. But I'll say, well, you know what you want to do. What is it that you really want to do? And they'll do it. I just want to help people. You know, it's kind of a frustrating. They don't know it yet, but they'll say, I just want to help people. And in its frustration, it's beautiful because it reveals what is good about all human beings is that despite our cracks and our bruises, the pain that we've had to overcome, the pain that we're in now, we all want to make a difference in this world. In other words, we want to make our mark. And that's in your soul. Nobody teaches you that. Just like we don't teach a toddler to say no, no one teaches you to lay awake at night at some point in your life and maybe for many, many nights on end and say, what should I do with my life? So we have to acknowledge that there is this soul craving to contribute, to make a difference in the world in your unique way. And to that end, you know, I went through a very confusing time in my early 30s. I thought I was on one path and it was the path and I was walking it. I was making progress. And then I began to question it, doubt it, stand still and realize it was the wrong path that I needed to pivot. And through that journey, all these years later, I've developed a process for people to where they can see their uniqueness. And when we see our uniqueness, Barry, then we can see all of the different ways to make that mark or make that contribution. And the three ways to see who you really are is to know, what are you really good at doing? This is talent. I can take raw talent and through education and experience, hone that into a sharpened tool, much like a blacksmith takes an inanimate object and sticks it in the fire and then pounds on it and then shapes it into something very usable. So that's talent, what we do best. The second element is passion. Work that we love to do, a task or a function or a role that we think about ahead of time, we get excited when we're in the middle of it. Time seems to stand still. And when we're done, we look back on it with great fondness. That is passion. We love the work just for the work itself, not for the acclaim and not for the pay. Then the third element is a sense of mission. All work creates results. So what are the results of your work that you really want to put into the world? And that's what I call mission. So when I use what I do best, talent, to do work I love, passion, to produce results that matter deeply to me, mission, I am on purpose. And people look at me and say, you were born for that. And that is how we figure out our unique role. And by the way, you can change that. That role moves with you professionally. But as long as you understand this is my unique combination, then once you get that clarity, Barry, here's what happens. Clarity leads to confidence to be able to accept and believe who I am now that I see it and step out. And then confidence will breed courage when you need it because life is going to throw some hurdles at you, some potholes, some detours. And that's when that courage will appear. But it only appears because I'm clear and I'm confident. And because of my clarity and my confidence, I will have the courage to get back on the path and stay with it.
So I am saying, first of all, a huge thank you, Ken. I urge everybody to remember, you want to know everything about Ken Coleman? Well, okay, not everything, but most of the stuff you want to know about him, his books, all the things that he does, go to my website, barryshore.com, BarryShore.com. All the links to everything about Ken will be there. What I'm also going to urge you to do is make sure you share this show with five people. Notice I didn't say 50 or 100 or 1,000. Five people. Five people will touch 1.5 million people around the world. This is vital, important, necessary, transformational processes that Ken is articulating here. You want to understand about your talent, about your passion, about your mission, so that you can become the best you possible. That's really what we're talking about, right, Ken? We're talking about you becoming the best you possible means that people will look and say, well, you were born to do this. Yes, because you're in your role. When you're in your role, everything moves along almost effortlessly, but they don't know the effort that it took to get there. Like you said, the blacksmith pounding and pounding. Okay, that's how life is. It's filled with challenge and change. Isn't that beautiful? Yes. So go to www.whatawonderfulworld.barryshore.com. Everything about Ken and what we're talking about is there. And that's really why we asked Ken to be here today. By the way, Ken, I want to share this with you. We call it, this, of course, is the Joy of Living podcast. And Joy is a wonderful acronym that stands for Journey of You. Mm-hmm. You love that?
I love it.
Journey of You. That's what joy is, right? When you can bring joy to work, when you love work and business, I'll give you another one that you might like as well. Business is a wonderful word. I love business. My father, my mother taught me about business when I was very young. And that's why you say love work. Business is B-U-S-I-N-E-S-S, right? Business. Notice that the you comes before the I. Because when you're in service, as you talked about a leader, when you're in service to the greater you, when you help a lot of other people, by definition, the I gets taken care of. It has to happen. That's what the magnet of life is. That the magnet of money comes to the person who does the most service. Am I correct? Whether it's in a corporate structure, an entrepreneurial structure, it doesn't matter. But when you're in service, things come to you because you're attractive, as you said. And that's really the genius of life. This has been so helpful and rewarding. And I want to, I'm sorry to even say these words, but our time is coming almost to a close at the moment. And I just want to ask you three quick questions, if I may. You ready?
Okay. Yep.
Okay. First question, will you come back again?
Absolutely.
Woo! That's very good. Now, number two, you only have 80 seconds to answer this question. What, Ken Coleman, is your most fervent desire?
To be the best husband and dad that I can possibly be.
I'm going to take a little riff on that for a moment. And of all the things that I could say about Ken, and what he's done or is doing with his books, his radio show, working with Dave Ramsey, and just all the good things he does. One of the things I like most about him is what he just said. He's a family man, husband, father. And that means he understands the role of life. Life is a great acronym that stands for living inspirationally for eternity. He knows that he's only here for a certain amount of time, but he's eternal. And that through the people that he influences and helps, and his family especially, that you live for eternity. We're not just here for the moment. And that's one of the reasons I love you. Thank you, Ken.
Thank you.
Now, the third question is, may I give you a hug in front of 479,820 people around the world?
Of course.
Okay, let me tell you what hug stands for. Ready? Heartfelt, unlimited giving. Heartfelt, unlimited giving. Ready? One, two, three, now.
I love it. It's me messing with your head.
Yeah. And we're listening, of course, to the Joy of Living podcast with your host, Barry Shore, and our amazing guest, Ken Coleman. And you learn here the three fundamentals of life. Number one, life. Your life has purpose. You lead a purpose of life. And number two happens. You go mad. Mad is a great acronym that Ken's been saying throughout the show. You make a difference. And the third is to unlock the power and the secrets of everyday words and terms, such as smile, seeing miracles in life every day. WWW, what a wonderful world. And you do that, you will become happier, healthier, and wealthier. You'll be able to do, as my 8-year-old niece says, learn how to smile with an S-M-I-E-L, seeing miracles in everyday life. You create the kind of world that you want to live in, create causing rethinking, as Ken's been showing us, enabling all to excel. And then you can shift your perspective. And when you do shift, you got to keep that F in place so the other stuff happens. And then you learn how to choose your response in any situation, because it's choice, not chance, that determines your destiny. As he said, choose to be in integrity. Show up early, stay late, do what needs to be done, because it's you, the best you possible. Use 4-letter words like love, life, hope, free, gift, play, pray, swim, work. And tell the world to F you, capital N, capital N. After the show, you see your family and friends, point your finger, say, tell the world, F you. What? Where'd you get that? Barry Shore wants to teach the world, F you, capital N, capital N. And they'll say, what's that all about? You say, well, I was listening to Barry and Ken Coleman. They talk about integrity and work. And now you have an opening. And then we ask you, use the two most powerful words in English language 3 times a day, consciously and conscientiously, for now and the rest of your life. And it will help you, your family, your friends, and all living beings. And these two words, of course, are thank you, thank you,
Thank you. Thank stands for to harmonize and nurture kindness. To harmonize and nurture kindness, wherever you are, in the work environment, at the home environment, with friends, whatever you are, be aware everyone you meet is fighting a battle you know nothing about. Therefore, be kind always. Keep inspiring noble deeds. So a blessing from Ken and Barry. Go forth. Live exuberantly. Spread the seeds of joy, happiness, peace, and love. Go mad. Go make a difference. Ken, don't go away. Good day. Beautiful, bountiful, beloved, immortal beings, and good-looking people. Remember, you're good-looking. You're always looking for and finding the good. You are on the Joy of Living podcast and Insider Tips. Now, I must warn you in advance that today's Insider Tips is at one and the same time uplifting and down pushing. But you'll understand that in just literally the next 38 seconds, because we're going to be speaking with Colin Henstock. Colin does investigative reporting, essentially, investigative project manager for People for the Ethical Treatment of Animals, better known as PETA or PETA, P-E-T-A. And the topic today is something very difficult to even speak about. And it's talking about the huge business of breeding specific dog breeds, but they are called breathing impaired beings or dogs. And some of the most well-known breeds in the world, such as French and English Bulldogs, Boston Terriers, Pugs, Boxers, these dogs are bred in a breathing impaired environment, which means they're going to be sickly. It means it's difficult. Can you imagine being a human living in a breathing impaired environment? Actually, people do. They live in smog cities, things like that. But that's a choice for us, not a choice for dogs. So I'm just going to introduce Colin right away and talk about things that are going to disturb you, but hopefully disturb you in a very positive way so you can take some action and be involved in being of help. So first of all, Colin, welcome. Thank you for being here today. Under these unique circumstances, I mean, you're an investigative reporter, so almost by definition, you dig up dirt, right?
That's right, yeah. My department here at PETA wants to take a look behind the scenes at all of the industries and areas of the world where animals are being exploited.
And behind the scenes means almost by definition, dirty, ugly, obscene. By the way, obscene means off the scene, outside. That's the origin of the word, comes from Shakespearean times. And what you uncover is at best disturbing, because let's be blunt, the world of purebred dogs today is a tremendously large business, especially in the United States of America. People pay obscene amounts of money for certain kinds of dogs. Let's just jump right in and tell us, what are some of the health conditions and symptoms of these things called BIB, which I guess stands for what? Breathing impaired
breeds.
Breeds.
These are dogs who are bred so their snouts are shortened and pushed back so far against their skulls by decades of selective breeding. That there isn't enough space to accommodate their normal anatomical features. And that causes them immense pain and suffering. They're twice as likely to suffer from heat stroke as other breeds. Many face lifelong disabilities and ailments and even premature death because of the way that they've been bred. They typically experience labored breathing, snorting, coughing, retching and vomiting, tiring easily and collapsing. So these are issues that are very common in these dogs, and they're inherent in breeds that are very popular in the U.S. Like you mentioned, the French Bulldogs, Pugs, Boston Terriers, Boxers, any dog bred to have a flat face will have these issues.
So let's talk about it from the human perspective for the moment. And I'm trying to understand, and I've read through this, and I prepared for this interview, and I must tell you, my heart aches, because again, I know people that have
these breeds. Mm-hmm. Why breed them to be breathing impaired? It doesn't affect their overall look. I mean, they're talking about, you know, people like certain looks on dogs. Why the breathing impaired process? How does that help the dog in any way?
Well, it doesn't help the dog. It harms the dog. People do find them cute. You think of a pug with a short face and large eyes. You know, it may look cute to people, but those large eyes, they have a lot more corneal issues than other dogs do. Their snouts are so short. You can kind of picture a soda can that's been crumpled. That's basically what all of this selective breeding has done to these dogs' faces, so that instead of a clear airway back to their trachea, it's a really cramped, narrow, crowded space that these dogs really have to struggle to move air through.
So you're telling me, I think, that the pushed-in face, the pug look, that pushed-in face and such, is not just there as the natural look of the breed, but it's actually because of selective breeding and the way they're raised, it is pushing back on their internal organs. And specifically, we're talking about in the human, it would be the trachea. So you're talking about, right? Is that correct?
Exactly. Yeah. If you look at some of the breeds that are typical these days, their features are extremely exaggerated compared to what these dogs look like in the 1800s, let's say. So it's selective breeding, it's inbreeding to select, okay, this dog has a short face, this dog has a very short face, breed them again, breed their youngsters again. Over decades, that has resulted in these very exaggerated features. And it's not just in these breathing impaired breeds. If you look at a lot of different breeds, German Shepherds, their gait now, their kind of hips that slink along, that's been exaggerated by breeders over the years. That's not a natural thing for those dogs to have. So a lot of purebred dogs do suffer from congenital conditions just based on how people want them to look and a standard that we've arbitrarily put upon them.
So I'm going to announce this more than three times, maybe even 10 times in the next couple of minutes. Please visit www.peta.org, peta.org, peta.org, peta.org. Whatever way you want to pronounce it, go there. I presume there's a button or two where people can learn about this situation of breeding impaired breathing animals and such like that. Is that correct, Colin?
Absolutely. There's tons of information on there to learn more about this and a lot of other industries where animals are exploited.
Okay. I'm going to make an analogy, and if I'm off, you'll just tell me. These days, throughout the Western world, wearing fur is considered déclassé, as opposed to wearing fur, you know, 100 years ago was a big thing. Wearing fur today, people don't do. Let's be blunt, right? And part of that has to do, thank God, with PETA and just the awareness thing. I'm making an analogy. In some ways, what is happening with breeding of dogs for the way they look, the way we want them to look, is almost akin to raising animals for their fur. Do you hear what I'm saying?
Yeah, it's animal exploitation. It's breeding an animal to profit off of them. And that's what these breeders do. And that's why it's such a big problem, is that this is a major big business. These dogs can sell for thousands of dollars each. And that's the incentive that these breeders have to keep churning them out and selling them. It's because people keep buying them. So we do hope that like the fur issue, we do hope that greater public awareness will lead people towards adopting animals rather than buying them. And, you know, that is really the ultimate solution to the whole problem.
Oh, so this is wonderful. So let's talk about a solution that is actually a positive, purposeful, powerful, pleasant solution. It's not going around throwing paint on people that wear fur. A positive, easy solution is to adopt a pet, an animal, dog in this case, that there are tens of thousands, more than enough to satisfy anybody, that are readily available in pet shelters, and people would like to have. Maybe sometimes people have an extra dog that they want to, you know, put in a nice home and such like that. So the solution is a good one. It's an easy one. It's a fun one. You can get a dog. Granted, and by the way, you may even be getting a dog that was already bred for this, but you're going to stop that line. You want to stop the process. You know, we could march against breeders and things like that, but the money incentive is always going to be there somehow. So let's do something that is a great alternative. It's really fun and easy. Is that correct? Adopting dogs that already exist.
Yeah, well, I mean, there's certainly space for protest against animal exploiting industries, for sure. But I mean, anyone who has the time and money and patience and ability to care for an animal for life, which, you know, dogs will be around for potentially 10 to 20 years. Anyone who has the ability to take one of those animals into their family should go to a shelter and adopt one. And I, you know, in shelters, there are purebred dogs. If someone is specifically looking for a purebred dog, they're there in shelters. There's also breed-specific rescue groups. So, you know, if you're after a certain breed, you can look up rescue groups who take them in from situations. And also petfinder.com is a great way to look online and adopt animals. So there are a lot of ways out there to bring an animal into your home if you're able to care for the animal without spending thousands of dollars for one of these dogs.
Thank you so much. Again, PETA.org, 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 PETA.org. Colin, your work is wonderful. I mean, it must be tough, but it's wonderful. And again, we're looking for positive, purposeful, powerful, pleasant ways to change the arc and make it less obscene. In the next 30 seconds, is something you'd like to share with the audience that we haven't said already?
Well, we do recommend anyone who already has one of these breathing impaired dogs to really research the best ways to care for them. That includes staying out of hot and humid environments, taking them for walks during the coolest parts of the day, and most importantly, having regular appointments with their veterinarian to stay on top of any developing health issues, because these dogs can have chronic issues throughout their life. So it's very important to consult with a veterinarian regularly.
Well, again, thank you for being here today. Thank you for doing the work. Thank PETA for making us aware of this, PETA.org. And as we always do, even on this difficult note, but a high note, because we have alternatives, we give a great blessing to everybody, Colin. So here it is. Go forth, live exuberantly, spread the seeds of joy, happiness, peace, and love. In this case, go mad. Go make a difference. Best wishes. Thank you, Colin.
Thank you so much, Barry.
Thank you for listening to this episode of the Joy of Living podcast. Now that's another step towards your healthier, happier, and wealthier life. Never hesitate to do good in the world, no matter what the situation. Join us for another upbeat discussion next time at barryshore.com. And be sure to leave a rating and subscribe to the show to get more conversations like this. And remember to share it with your family and friends too. See you on the next episode.